All right, welcome back to Find Your Fight podcast. We are here again with Katie Danger at Red H Nutrition on 120th and Blondo. Veronica will not be joining us today as a co-host, but Katie and I will do enough talking for all three of us. So, Katie, again, you want to tell everybody who you are, what you're about?
Yes, I do. So, hey guys, what's up? Like Alex said, my name is Katie Danger. I'm the owner of Red H Nutrition here in Omaha. We got an online store, but my favorite place to hang out is the shop on 120th and Blondo. Bridging the gap between wellness and performance for the everyday athlete. So if you have a nutrition concern, want to optimize your life and find a 1% opportunity, that is my specialty.
Amen. Amen. And I will say, of the subs I have tried out of this shop, I have not tried anything like them. The probiotic is absolutely fantastic. It's definitely changed the way that my gut operates in the past, I think, almost 30 days. I think I'm almost done with a 30-day supply. And just overall, great supplementation for if you're trying to get your gut back on track or on track for the first time. And then the Go Juice post-workout. I do it during workout sometimes just because it just tastes like Kool-Aid. It's amazing.
You know what? You talk about gut health, and I think that leads us right into kind of our topic today.
Oh, absolutely.
Mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the root of mental health of any kind. If you've got a good gut health, your mental health is bound to be on track. And I do want to say something just out of experience recently. In the past 2 weeks, my diet has went from a very high plant-based protein and, you know, greens, lots of fruits, lots of things of that nature. And now lately, I've adopted more bread into my diet because I get these cravings for carbs. And I just go ham. I just go ham sandwich, like, all the way. And, you know, peanut butter jellies all day long. And then I'll get to a point like 2 weeks into this diet theme and I'm feeling like crap. Like my mental is foggy, like my body's not responding well to it. And it's just one of those duh moments of, well, you took away a very large portion of protein and replaced it with essentially sugar. So what I have been kind of reading up on is like, what do carbs do for your mental health? Because I heard something on the radio about, oh, lots of carbs make you angry. And I've been experiencing this anger due to carbs. They say it's because it's like, if you eat, say, a half a loaf of bread for breakfast, and by, you know, lunchtime, most of that stuff's gone. It's all turned to sugar and gave you a sugar high, and now you've crashed by now. Without sustainable proteins and fats to get you through the day. So I get to that crash and I just really feel like I want to throw up. So I'm just telling y'all in my experience, like if you're experiencing some stuff like fatigue, if you're experiencing like you're edgy, just cranky, out of the normal, analyze your carb intake. Yeah, we got some selfies going in the studio here, and look for some stuff on our Facebook pages. Look up Katie Danger, look up Red H, and Find Your Fight is obviously the podcast, but we have added a page to the website for Big Hearts, Big Sound. We've played a few shows now and got some experience under our belt. We got some video footage up from our last show. Three people on stage rather than six due to some complications, but we're not going to get into all that. And I was going to offer Red H a tab on the Find Your Fight if you are interested in such a tab on my website.
Well, yeah, of course we can talk about that. I suppose.
Oh yeah, we can. Yeah, we yeah. can talk details later, but I just want to get the right information out to people. I want to inspire people in different avenues and different ways. Like, why can't a guy start a podcast and have a nutrition store, you know, also building their, you know, fan base through our fan base. Like, we've had you on the show, this is twice now, and I plan on having you at least like once a month, because we always have a good talk, we always have a good show. And so without further ado, we're gonna dive into it. First thing on the business agenda here, gut health. Kind of talked about it already. What do you know about gut health that they need to know?
Well, since the overall topic is mental health, as far as mental health is concerned, there is a very strong gut-brain connection. And I was also on a plant-based journey. I started about a year ago. Since it was actually about around November, I remember it was after Thanksgiving last year, I decided to go sometimes all plant-based because it was after Thanksgiving, so I still had my turkey. But I don't want to digress too much. The gut-brain connection is incredibly strong, and all of the serotonin, the happy feelings, the hormones that we produce start in the gut. And if our gut is sending bad signals up to our brain, we are not functioning optimally. And usually what that means is we've got lack of focus, brain fog, and in some more extreme cases, depression and anxiety. And when you cannot control, we can control what we put in our mouth, but if we are careless and don't understand that gut-brain connection, we're often seeing symptoms of anxiety and depression. I mean, it's such a hot topic right now, but that's one, because people are more open to talking about it, but two, because literally everybody's experienced that the food that we eat now has changed. It's not the same as it was 50 years ago.
No, not even goes, Twinkies, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for everything. The meat that we eat, the vegetables that we eat, the refined sugars that we eat, nothing is the same. Almost everything out there is genetically modified, and, you know, whatever your feelings on that are, it's not the food that we were eating, at least when we were evolving as humans, or that our grandparents were eating. And that's why I think we're seeing such high rates of mental health. One, because we're on the go, but people aren't putting good food in their body.
No, I saw a guy driving down the road eating one of those deep fat fried chicken exterior taco in the middle things, and I'm like, dude, like, one, you're not even at a dinner table. You're not taking the time to even prep your food. You're so busy, dedicated to your 9-to-5 job, and they got you running between, you know, Wendy's and Pizza Hut and taco smell for all your coworkers that crap on you at work. And here you are shoving it down, you know, like it's the only time you'll get to eat, when it probably is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If that's you, if you're the gopher guy at work and you're the one that goes and gets everybody's lunch, okay, first of all, say no. Second of all, bring your own lunch and be like, oh, no, I meal prepped. I'm good. Thanks, though. You know, it's an easy out. Meal prep, take the time. And, you know, I'm bad about it sometimes, too, because I just get so busy and caught up in my life. But take the time to prep, because mm-hmm. you can take a sandwich to go. You can make it on-the-go friendly, but make sure you know what's going into your food.
Yeah, I tend to live by this 80-20 rule. Like, 80% of the time, I'm making the right decisions. I'm fueling my body with what I think is the most optimal that I can choose at the time. And then the 20% is my pizza, my Chick-fil-A, the things right. that, you know, the things that I like, because we're all still human. I don't think there should be any, I mean, unless you've got medical concerns, but if you're a normal human being, you don't want to feel restricted, because that's really when you fall off the wagon. You can't continue to make those lasting habits. So restriction's not the key, but moderation is.
Right.
I've long believed that you are what you eat, but you're also what your food eats. So there's
Word.
Better.
Yeah, I mean, let's dive.
Like, if you do eat meat, do the best you can to choose high quality cuts of meat.
And free range.
And I don't know what you think about this, Alex, but I believe, like, when I say you are what your food eats too, free range. Like, if you are eating an animal that was stuffed in a pen, born and raised in captivity and mistreated and mishandled and shoved with drugs and antibiotics, do you really think that that animal has taken on any properties that are going to help you if you eat it? I mean,
No. There's a,
if it's a life that you're eating, I really think that you want to put high quality protein into your body. Like, you want to have an animal that was treated well, that was happy and positive, because I really think that has something to do also with
putting lazy protein in our bodies because they
it's
can't
crap.
Run.
It's not high quality. It's not as nutritionally dense as like a free range or a grass fed piece.
They haven't had to build any muscle.
No, they
it's
haven't.
It's real gristly. It's real fatty. Mm-hmm. A lot of steaks, even before I quit eating meat, when I was real young, I remember my dad would always go, he would go to this farm in Holstein, Nebraska, and he would literally go and pick out a cow. Like, you know, they're out in a field. He says, you know, I want that one with the blue tag on his ear. You know, I want that one. And they would process the cow. You know, they weren't in pens. They had their stables so they could go mm-hmm. to sleep at night or whatever. But they had this massive, massive range. He would do that, and he would shoot a deer or two each year. And we would have our fridge full of free-range animal. I felt like I had more of a athletic edge when I was eating a lot of venison. Because you think about it, you just ate a wild animal, and you just ate what they ate. They ate grass. You know, they ate, like, all natural, no pesticides from the forest floor. Mm-hmm. And there's some leaves and nuts and things in there, too, you know? So, like, when you take a bite of venison versus, like, factory-raised beef, the gaminess to it, like, the actual meat flavor is tenfold more so than the bland blah. That's why they sell all these shitty spices to season your shitty meat. Right. You know?
Tones.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mrs. Yeah. Dash was, oh, steak seasoning.
Yeah, right.
Look, if the steak was properly raised and made, you wouldn't need seasoning. You wouldn't need A1. You wouldn't need more shit going into your body.
Yes.
Especially A1 and ketchup and all the crap that we put in condiments.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to hurl.
You know, there's a flip side to it, though. So as far as, like, let's say you are a plant-based person or you're a vegetarian. I know people who won't eat meat, but they are so full of refined and processed sugars and carbs. That's not good either.
No.
I mean, so what it comes down to is you can choose the highest quality piece of meat, fruit, veggie, whatever it may be, for your nutrition. And that's going to essentially help your gut and help your brain health.
Right. Absolutely. Because, I mean, we are what our food eats. And if we keep eating this meat that doesn't even know what a pasture looks like, let alone able to graze from one, we're eating those antibiotics.
Yeah,
we're eating all those, you know, those energies and those chemicals that were released from the cow's brain when it was bulldozed over by a machinery.
And those aren't happy chemicals.
No,
either. I mean, just
terrified,
like,
chemicals.
Yeah, just like when you and I get terrified or we're fearful or we're scared or we're hurt, those same chemicals get dumped in the animal's body. Yeah. And then we're supposed to eat it, and it's supposed to be good for us?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So just be mindful of what food you're eating and what they have eaten or what they've experienced prior to, you know, when their life ended or when they were processed.
Right. It's right. Important. And you got to understand, too, that DNA has memory. So that nice, juicy, medium-rare steak that's still pink in the middle, just how I know most Nebraskans like their steak. Grew up in the household, man. I get it. But all those enzymes that still are alive in your steak, it's still mooing, as they say. The DNA strands have memory of those traumatic experiences, and you're eating that. You're consuming that energy. It is a potential energy, but as soon as it enters your body, it is now a new, fully fledged, live energy. And if it was anything of trauma, it's going to affect you mentally, physically, emotionally. I mean, shit, I drank half and half, a sip of half and half yesterday, and I felt like trash for a whole day straight. Like, I don't drink milk and stuff anymore. I don't do meat or dairy or anything like that. Once in a blue moon, Mom will make some classic cheese potatoes, and I'll tear it up, but they tear me up just the same. But it's all about balance, like you said. And if you can find some good, you know, good cuts of meat and things that, you know, maybe you pay a dollar more a pound, but you know where the F it came from.
Yeah.
And you know the farmer's name is Steve and he hand feeds his cows every day, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, another aspect, so we talked about gut health. You know, you are what you eat and what your food eats, but what else can we do to help with mental health? What else? Well, there's got to be an outlet. A lot of us are sad, stuck in our, you know, dead-end jobs, but how about exercise?
Right.
I think that is part of this mental health discussion that's becoming sort of like, I wouldn't say, maybe a national crisis. I mean, like,
it's an epidemic.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, exercise is such an easy way to help manage some of the stress that we experience and things that we can't handle.
But I think that the real issue is the stress that we are experiencing, because we're like, we're so addicted to the shit. So much so that, like, I had a friend, I'm not naming names, I don't want to make him feel bad, but he was the hardest working son of a bitch I ever met in my life. He dedicated 35 plus years to a company, and he had hit his pay ceiling,
mm-hmm.
20 years ago. 20 years ago, he hit his pay ceiling, man.
And so no raises since then, nothing.
None. So the economy he lived in 20 years ago, and, you know, the things he could buy 20 years ago with that pay scale, he's not buying any of those things now. And so I guess where I'm going with this is, like, people get so hooked on the stress, and they get hooked on the fear of, well, if I don't bust my balls for this job, they're going to can me, you know, and then what? They're so hooked on it that they say, oh, well, I can't find the time in my day to go and work out for an hour because, like, I have this job and it's very demanding and it requires me morning, noon, and night. Like, wait. You go to work from, you leave at 8, get there by 8:30. Boss Susan comes in, says, hey, all right, it's 9 a.m., it's time to rock. 9 a.m., say you work the 9 to 5. By 5 o'clock, you've got 5 to 6, 7 to 8, say you go to bed at 10. You've got some time. And if you don't want to do it after work because you're beat, get up an hour early. Go run for 10 minutes before you go into your shift. Go meditate at the very least and go for a mile walk.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be this, you know, you don't have to have this elaborate plan. I mean, movement.
Yeah, you're not going to hang out with Jillian in the right? gang, you know, like,
yeah.
She's not going to be yelling in your face, spitting on you and showing her, you know, salad-filled teeth while you're sitting there dreaming about a donut. Like, it's not like that. And if you're worried about people, like, oh, I don't want people, like, looking at me or whatever, like, you hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't want to be judged. It's like, the only person that's judging you is you, homie. You are the only judge that I'm seeing. Because nobody else gives a flying fuck about what you're doing in the gym.
No, you know why? Because everybody else is concerned about their own shit.
Right.
So you
and
think
they're worried about you looking at them.
I know. So it's like nobody actually cares about anybody else but themselves, but everybody thinks that everybody else cares about them.
Right. Right. You know, and I did a little segment about that specific thing this morning on my morning jam sesh. And I talked about how we each have a different version of ourselves deep-seated in every one of our peers' minds. Like the version of me that's in your brain may be different from the version of me that's in that guy's brain out there. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know me.
Right.
So he probably looks at me like, oh, some meathead with a flat bill, whatever. My mom's version of me, dad, brother, everybody, uh-huh. goes on. And it's same thing on the other foot. You have versions of yourself. And these people that you think are judging you have versions of themselves that they don't even know about. And they're all in these figments of imagination, which aren't reality. So to snap back to reality there, like, that got a little deep, and I want people to really, 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 really think about that. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you besides you, because you're the one with the control sticks, yo. You're the one driving the damn car. So, like, if your cousin Bob thinks you're a weenie and you never win in a fight against him, who cares?
I know. Okay, cool.
Like awesome. That, but that's how simple people go, and they're completely talked out of going to the gym. Like, oh, Bob doesn't think I can bench press 100 pounds. I better not even try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instantly defeated. And that, take that back to the mental health. Are you riding on your version of yourself? If so, what does it look like? You know, the version of myself recently that I have found is completely different than the one that I was a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Completely different.
Yeah. I really think that we're always evolving. I suspect that a lot of us don't live enough in the present. We're like so either focused on the past and what's happened or what could happen in the future.
So we can't even go forward.
I know. So we just don't ever really know where we're at.
Yeah, like, we're all mindless, lost little bugs just floating around.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I see. And that's just what I feel like the world is going through right now. And
they can't even justify walking into a gym because the other little bugs are going to judge them or going to stare at them funny, you know, or whatever it may be. It bothers me. It's not that it bothers me that people aren't more like me. I'm not that arrogant. However, I do have a friend that is that way. I love him to pieces, but he's an ass. What bothers me is people are afraid to try. I was at one point in my life. I'll tell you right now, 2 years ago, never even dreamed of the day I would step on a real stage and play in front of real humans. And not just in front of my phone for Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Never, you couldn't even convince me. I'm like, no way, dude. No way am I gonna play with Andrew Bailey, Mikey Dean, Brian Lidget, you know, these Omaha guys that have been in the scene for a while, in and out, you know, had a relationship with the scene, so to speak, and have followings online. Especially Andrew Bailey, Mikey Dean, it's been an absolute blessing. Randall Gruber, I've got to work with him. Ty Gray, Clayton Monroe, like those are all the guys from Big Hearts. And they're all very, very, very talented individuals, very deep individuals. And I think that's where all these little bugs here that we are, we need to find that circle of friends that is similar enough to ourselves, but more advanced than ourselves to help us grow and grow in the right direction.
But then that's a scary thing too. You don't, it is hard to be with people or a group that you know that you might not be as advanced, whatever that is, whether it's intellectually, mentally, physical exercise. But like, it really does help to be around people because they're not judging you.
No.
More than likely, they already know that you're not at the same level, but they're still having you around because they believe in you. And they want what they have for you, too, because they're enjoying it.
Yeah, and they have shown me that. Like, Mikey Dean right away, he loved our podcast and stuff and really liked what we did on episode 10. And, you know, right away, I was like, whoa, dude. Like, I've never had anybody, like, tell me the way that you're telling me this. Like, it resonated in a whole nother way. And to hear that from somebody that's already been doing the music thing for a while, and he's a paid musician, like that's what he does for work. Like, he'll help me with odd jobs here and there, but his main income is music. I'm like, I want to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know. So like, I need to be around Mikey Dean. Like, what's Mikey Dean doing? Who's he calling? How's he calling? Most times he'll just walk into a bar with a guitar, get it out, and start playing. Just for everybody in the room.
And
if
do you think,
like him, then they're like, hey, come on back.
Do you think just overnight he was that good, or did he put in the time and effort and consistency?
Definitely. He's been doing it for 16 years.
Yeah, so you don't just wake up an expert or a bodybuilder. Everything takes work and consistency.
In my brain, though, I am so A, you know, like the full time,
uh-huh.
A to B,
I know.
B to C. Like, my brain works like that. So, like, to me, I get frustrated when I can't wake up and be great. Especially now. Now that I know I can manifest things, and now mm-hmm. I know that I am talented, I can make things that I could never make before. at this point, I'm challenging myself, like, what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I told my fiance the other day, I was like, what if I just wrote a movie? And I've been writing all these songs. What if I just challenge myself to the next level and write a freaking script?
And?
She's like, do it.
I don't do it.
Like, okay. Do it, dude. And I've already got a script in mind. It's a song I wrote. It's called Angel Blue Eyes. And it's basically about this innocent schoolboy that he very, very much so wanted to go to Harvard. He wanted to do the family business of, you know, being mom's a doctor, dad's a lawyer. They live in the fancy house on the end of the street. He falls in love with this, you know, bad girl from school, and she starts skipping class to go dance downtown, you know, and make some extra money her senior year. And he really, really falls for her, and then finds out that there's this guy that she used to have business with, you know, the prior year. He just got out of prison or whatever.
Oh, God.
And he finds out that it's her dad, and he has been not so good to her and whatever. He's trying to get her out of the game and take her with him on a train to the other coast, you know, from California to New York, and follow him with his practice and this and that. It's a sad ending. Like, it doesn't end the way that, you know, you want it to. Like, he doesn't get the girl. She stays, commits murder, and ends up in prison. The exact place that she didn't want to go, and the person that was doing her wrong the whole time was her father. So, like, to me, I feel like it just rang with me, and for some reason I can't get that storyline out of my head.
Where'd that come from?
The ether. The ether, man. I was just sitting there playing on my, it was a hollow body Epiphone guitar, you know, semi-hollow electric, like B.B. King playing.
Uh-huh, yep.
Except it was white with the gold hardware.
Beautiful.
Instead of the candy apple like he rocked. I was just shredding it up one day, playing some blues, and it just started coming out of me.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Wow. Like, wow, this is great. So I jotted it all down, like, in my head it blew up to this feature film. Like, it was a film. It was no longer a song. It was
so
a film.
So you can do anything you want, kids.
Anything.
You really can.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I want to know more about this. Who, have you given any thought to, like, who you would have be the stars?
I think the damsel in distress of, you know, because there's going to be the damsel in distress that, like, was the good girl that went to all the classes with the law student and really wanted, you know, him to, like, quit chasing this, you know, this little tram that dances downtown, whatever. I think, like, that damsel in distress role, I would like Veronica to play that role. Like, not because I want to see her character get her heart broke, but I think that she'd do good with it. And then I've got a couple people in mind for the dancer role.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it wouldn't be, like, an actual dancer unless, you know, like, they had some acting skills and, you know, they wanted to rock it. But, yeah, and then I think, like, my friend Zach would be a good for the lead role.
I kind of want to see this movie now.
Right, though?
I mean, like, so Apple, like, TV, they're doing, like, new premieres. That's, like, maybe a new...
Yeah, I saw that. Jen Aniston has a show on
there. Yeah, like, all these... anyways, I kind of want to see
we that. Could make a movie, we could make a Katie movie. Danger. You want to get into the film business?
I don't know.
It'd be a great expansion.
I've got so much other stuff going on.
Dude, but honestly, like... why not?
Yeah, you can do anything that you put your mind to, and I didn't believe that a while ago, maybe even just a year ago. Like, all of this enlightening with my mental health and my mental capacity. And
where did this come from?
Self-work. Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple years ago, I've gone to cognitive behavioral therapy. So I've sat with a counselor. I've had those hard questions asked, and really it was... She didn't really, like, ever do anything. It was just asking questions. I go there and I just word vomit and, like,
right,
this is
questions.
Why I'm pissed today, or this is why I'm pissed at the world.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, just ask questions like, why do you feel that way? Do you think that they meant all that? And honestly, most of it was just getting that shit out. Finally telling the world what I thought of it for all the wrongs that I thought it had done to me.
When it was really teaching you.
Yeah. And, you know, you look back on it and every little thing, every little... whatever I perceived as a wrongdoing, or every person who has done me wrong, it was really all the journey. The universe was giving it all to me so I could get right here, right now, on this podcast and talk about it.
Right.
I mean, all of that. And there are very... Even when I talk about some of the, like, the shitty people that were in my life and the things that they said. And
they make me smile.
Yeah, now I'm just like, man, if I could only see them now, I'd be like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
For being a piece of shit.
No, seriously.
I know.
Seriously, thank you. Like, I told my dad last time he was up here and he came to my first show or whatever. I told him, I was like, dude, bygones be bygones. Like, all that shit behind us. But thank you for being an asshole. You know, like, thanks for being that dickhead dad that nobody wanted. You know, that guy that, you know, he would show up to pick us up from after school programs and things of that nature. But then when I figured out what self-employed meant, which meant like dad was home for most of the day and then would go drive around and do his appointments, I'm like, shit, dude, I could have gone home after school this whole time. Like, what in the actual fuck is going on?
So what were you doing otherwise?
I would go to these after school, like, sometimes it'd be like a basketball camp. Mm. Like, when we were younger, it was like the YMCA did like a daycare program, you know, for working families. Like,
right,
my
right,
mom
right.
worked her ass off, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, she put in 60 plus hours, you know, as a young hairdresser, building her clientele to what it is today. Like, she can never move anywhere besides maybe an hour away tops because of that clientele she built, but... She's cool, man. She's turning six figures doing what she loves.
Nice.
Yeah, man. And it's really great. I figured all that out. I'm like why couldn't you just... We'd done our thing at home, done our homework, you know, and you were there. It's not like you weren't there. He's like, honestly, I couldn't handle you both. I'm like, fuck you mean you couldn't handle us? We're your children. Like... You don't think you're cut out for this shit, or what? He's like, well, no, man, not really. I didn't really know what to expect to be a parent. You know, I thought it was going to be all great, but then I realized there was no attention coming my way anymore, and that was a big problem. You know, being my dad, you know, like, I put myself in his shoes. I'm like, okay, when... You know, say there's an outside situation. The little nephew comes to stay with us, and his mom and dad go. Sister goes out of town, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. Like, cause when little dude's around, this guy doesn't exist. You know, cause we got somebody else's kid in our home. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, like, if anything happens to that child, it's on us.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I get that, and I had a conversation with him one day. I was like, dude, I feel you. I feel where you were coming from, and I'm sorry for being an asshole about it. But it's like you said, you got to get that shit out to improve your mental health, whatever's bothering you, whether it's your parents, your boss, your best friend that keeps stealing all these hot guys or whatever in high school. Like, I had a girlfriend like that. Becky just keeps taking all the guys. Like, she's just so much more bubbly than me. And this and that. I'm like, then find a dude that doesn't want a Becky. Like, find somebody that isn't into Becky. Oh, but Becky, everybody loves Becky. Like, okay, then if you really want, go be Becky. You want to be Becky? Fine. But you're going to lose yourself. You're going to be more depressed. And the guys you're going to be with, like, they don't even know you. So you either want to be Becky or you want to not give up and love yourself. Because until you love yourself, ain't nobody else going to. Because that shit, red, like, it comes off your body.
Or how about self-care, too? I mean, this goes on with self-care. So many people are out there and they're giving so... And it's somewhat selfish because they are expecting things in return. But they give, give, give. And they're there for everybody else who needs them. But they're mentally and emotionally drained. Like, they're running on E. And then, you know, they either lose it or they've got to go in, like, seclusion for days to, to recover. Or take their vacation and get the hell out of Dodge for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, get away from their life. It should never be that. Like,
should
you
be
really...
from your life.
You really do. I mean, learn to say no if it's going to put you in a bad position. Because you can. I'm giving you all permission to take care of yourself.
Right.
You can choose yourself over somebody else if it... If you want to. Like, there doesn't have to be an excuse. There doesn't have to be a reason.
Even if you're in,
you
like...
You can.
Like, I thought about this. Like, is like a hypothetical. Like if my significant other of 3 years were to do something just unforgivable, you know, like be with somebody else or whatever. Like, even with those circumstances, I would have to go through a very, 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 very intense thought process. Okay, how am I going to disconnect without losing my shit? Like, how? And how? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, without completely losing my shit? And the answer is, folks, there's not always a how. There's not always an answer. There's not always a good way to break up with somebody or to cope with somebody wrong.
Or right time. Like, so many people are waiting for the right time.
Oh, when the kids graduate high school. Yeah, yeah. Then mom's gonna leave. Cool. That's great.
Yeah. Take action. Do what you want. Do what you love. There's just so much to finding yourself and discovering yourself and being okay in your own skin. The demons can get so loud, though. That, yeah, I mean,
they talk a lot of shit.
I know, and it's the weirdest thing. I like, when I get up in the morning sometimes, building a business is difficult, so a lot of the things on my mind have to do with money. And they're building a business, there are ebbs and flows to the money flow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if there's really ever a true consistency to it, but I know there can be a little bit more. So almost every single morning I wake up, there is this little bastard in my mind who is just telling me, you know, quit, give up, you're never gonna make it, you know, X, Y, and Z is doing it better than you. And I have to actually talk to myself about myself with myself and go, Katie, you know that's ridiculous, right? Like, you're doing the right thing, you're doing what you love.
You just make me feel that so crazy.
Stick with it.
I talked to myself yesterday first time in a while, because like growing up, like I used to do when I was a kid, and one day my dad came in and he's like, are you talking to yourself? Like, he was disgusted. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm just trying to sort some stuff out, you know? And luckily Batman was close by. I was like, no, I was talking to Batman, you know? And he's like, only fucking queers and crazy people talk to themselves. Man. And I'm like, oh my. Like 28-year-old me in my head was like, bitch, please!
I know, I talk to myself all the time.
Little kid me was like terrified to ever talk to myself ever again until recently. That was 20 years ago. I waited 20 years and I still feel weird about it because my father said, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah about it. I'm like, yeah, so fathers out there, if your kid's talking to themselves, let them, because they need to do that, because their genius IQ level needs a smart enough human being to interact with, and sometimes when they're not around, the only person is moi.
Yeah, I have really good conversations with myself.
Yeah.
But I think, like most of us, we really do have that proverbial angel and devil on our shoulders. We've got our...
I love when you were talking about that.
I mean, we really do. Because I do. The demon, I have shut him or her, I haven't even given him a name, but I've shut them up, and I'm able to shut them up for the most part.
Yeah.
And that's a complete opposite of what I used to be. That demon was very loud and very convincing, and I believed them a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and
you will.
But I feel like if you can choose abundance, everybody can have their share if you work for it and put in the time and believe.
I just read your shirt. That's great.
Or if you believe that you are, you know, not going to get your fair share in life, and other people will, and you'll just have to sit back and watch other people be successful. If you can choose one of those, why would you choose the one that puts you in the deficit?
Right.
You should always choose the best for yourself in abundance, because you do have a choice.
Right.
It takes work, because that comes with a belief, too.
The belief is the hard part.
It is. And you can't just go from one day thinking the world's out to get you and you have nothing to believing you can be a millionaire. Because, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have a roof over your head, if you're really struggling with money, it's hard to believe that you can have all the money you want.
Yeah.
So you got to take smaller steps in belief. And that's just maybe little things like, I'm doing okay today. I can feed myself today. Like, little things you know you can believe because they're very true. So that's how you start.
Like, I had enough gumption to make my bed this morning. I make my bed every day.
Yeah, and it's a little things like that. You know, you don't have... That's why I think some people get derailed. Well, even from, like, exercise goals. Those are really easy to correlate to this. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a goal, and somebody is on the couch, and all of a sudden they want to do a marathon, and they run into it, you know, head first, all the power in the world they think they got, but like a couple weeks into it, they're like, well, how the hell are you going to go from couch to 20 miles in a training run? You know, there's just baby steps, and we all know
the
that.
The only way is to go directly from couch to the run, because the amount of time that you're going to, time and effort and energy you're going to put into training for said run, you might as well have just waited till the day of.
Well, right, if that's what you're going to do,
if
just
that's
go
your
from
strategy, man, yeah.
Because at least you'll do it.
And you'll be like
done.
Barney Stinson with jello legs on right? on the drunk train at midnight, stuck.
But we, like, you and I, and most people that are going to listen to this understand that analogy. It's silly to think you can go from a couch to a marathon in a few weeks, right? Yeah. We all know that. But for
it's
some
been
reason.
Done,
yeah, it
however.
Has. But people don't make the correlation that this mental health is also a journey. You can't just go from being on a medication to help you manage to cold turkey and then being happy one day and have everything you want.
No, it's because you got to unbalance from the meds first and foremost.
Yes, yes.
And then you have to rebalance with mm-hmm. proper food intake.
Yep.
And even if that is like, if you don't know shit about making healthy food and you know how to buy a jug of good quality plant-based or otherwise based protein that has vitamins, minerals, because they do have those shakes where it's got all your daily yep. intake of vitamins, minerals. They make breakfast shakes, you know, intro, like during workout, post-workout, all sorts of super greens and shakes if you're not able to, you know, digest, okay, salad, fork, dressing with non-fat,
right.
whatever. I use Bragg's, and because mm-hmm. people are always like, what's the solution to salad dressing? Look, dude, if you want something that tastes nice on your tongue and down in your tummy, all that good stuff, that's great. But read the damn label.
Sugar.
I can, yeah,
sugar.
Turn that thing of ranch around and like,
yeah.
They squeeze like 28 words on the back of that label. If they had that shit in even 12-point font, it wouldn't fit. You didn't have to turn it sideways.
Yeah.
It would not fit. So if you flip over your dressing and it's got more than even two words that you can't pronounce and anything more than eight ingredients, put it down. Put it back. Put it down. If there's any sugar in it, put it back.
Yeah, I know. There. If you're going for a salad...
You defeat the
purpose.
Would
you put sugar? Like, would you get a cup of white sugar and go, oh, yeah, yummy? No, we wouldn't do that. But we've disguised it as salad dressing.
Yeah.
Salad
tastes
dressing.
Good.
Yeah, if you guys ever want to, like, have an awakening experience, do the Whole 30 challenge.
Absolutely.
Because I did that once. One, my focus and clarity was... I don't know. I was just on point for like the whole, about 20 days, about 10 days after I had my sugar detox and came out on the other side, I was like the most on point and A-game I've ever been. Now I haven't, obviously, I don't do Whole 30 religiously, but like if
That's
you do
tough.
It, one, it's awareness. You will look at the back of every food label, sugar's in everything. It,
it
is so hard
is
to find stuff
everything.
Without sugar. It's in everything. It's crazy. It's
yeah.
crazy.
And that's even like that's even how they're getting they're gaining more smokers, is putting more sugar in their tobacco blends.
Of course,
because tobacco has natural sugar in it. That's you know
it's a
the
plant.
Nicotine
mm-hmm.
plus the sugar get you hooked. You know it binds that nicotine to your DNA with that sugar molecule.
Yep,
plain and simple.
And then your brain's like
brilliant.
must have.
Yeah,
must have.
Must have. So much so that if you don't have it, you flip out on
yep.
anybody that even remotely walks by you. And I say that out of experience because I'm in the middle of this quitting thing, and it just sucks. But you're right. Even in, you know, like you go and you think, oh, Hy-Vee's got some nice protein shakes, good powders. Dude, flip that over. It may not say sugar, but read the other words. They hide sugar with other words like sucrose.
Uh-huh.
Sucrose,
high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, yeah, and but nobody thinks to read below the actual ingredient label where you know fat, calories, whatever
mm-hmm.
the main. And nobody ever thinks to look below. And if the first somebody told me this, like in a proprietary blend, they have to list ingredients from most
yep.
to least.
Correct.
So if your sugar word comes up in the first five, those definitely put it back.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, well, sugar's also cheap, too. So it's probably, if it's in a proprietary blend, it's going to be one of the first and foremost ingredients because it's cheap, and that's why they make those blends. That right. goes for foods, anything, supplements, you name it. That's how they get kind of away with murder, so to speak.
Right. And speaking of murder and getting away with and things of that nature, there was an article, I did not read it for the life of me, but the headline struck me. The FDA is now going to be hands off in letting these slaughterhouses and cattle factories self-police.
Oh yeah, that'll work. You can't self-police.
Please. Please, for the love of God. Tell me this isn't real.
How long ago did that come up?
Was 2 days ago.
Just 2 days ago?
So, I don't know, like, if you want to fact check that real quick, like...
I want to check it out.
I'm not sure if that's such a great idea.
Slaughterhouses?
Yeah. So...
Oh, yeah, here it is. This is on the Hill, 8 days ago. Risking food safety, USDA plans to let slaughterhouses self-police.
What in their agenda, or even in their brain as the slaughterhouse, what is going to even remotely hold them back from cutting corners like crazy with antibiotics, with all these growth hormones? We're going to start seeing cows triple the size.
They're reducing food and safety inspections by 40%, and then they're removing large numbers of line workers who are supposed to be doing the quality control as these lines come out, because that's what they're doing. You know, they're looking, I don't know what the checks are, but you know. So then what they're doing is now there's fewer trained workers that are watching out for safety.
That's not cool, man.
No, like, I didn't read this. That's disgusting. So just another reason to go to your local mom-and-pop slaughterhouse and get yourself, if you're going to eat meat, like, do it the right way.
Yeah, eat the good stuff. Because especially now, we have no idea what's going to be going into these, into these cows. We have no idea. And then on the other end, we have no idea, like, okay, so what if there's a little spot on a cow that got missed? It got overlooked because there was not enough eyeballs looking at the product, and say it was a potential spot of, I don't know, like infection or something of that nature, or slight decomposition, whatever. Maybe there's a maggot on it. What if
we already have food problems and food safety concerns?
And China already hates our guts. Ugh. And barely buys beef from us anymore because of the mad cow thing.
Oh, wow.
Now what in the F is going on?
So, listen to this. So, Congress still has a say on whether this USDA policy goes into place. They put this rule out, and over 80,000 public comments were submitted in opposition of the rule. But what they're doing now is, so the amendments in the House of Representatives, and they'll give the official ruling on it, but what I fear is money talks. These administrations have large amounts of money. The USDA, all it has to do is, we all know how politics work. It's money makes the decisions, and I just have a feeling like there may be as much opposition. I mean, like 99% of Americans could hate this rule, but it ain't gonna matter.
Because these, and just in animal ag alone, the emissions, you know, like car emissions.
That too, yeah, it's gross.
So 56% of all emissions, it's like 17% was from humans and what we do as humans. 56% of the emissions going into the ozone layer destroying it was from animal ag.
I believe it.
Mostly poops and farts. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at, I don't think I could even fathom the mass production that goes on, because I know that the world is so big and like I'm just a small little person. So sometimes I think about these operations, I'm like, really, how big are they?
Yeah.
But I know that they're just monumental, like astronomical.
So if you're putting out 56% of all worldwide emissions just with one motherfucking industry, imagine how much money
is there.
They have to start making decisions and telling people, hey, you're against it? Oh, well, your Grandpa Olaf is going to die in about 10 minutes, and we're going to put a hit on your husband and brother-in-law. So, yeah, see you later. Have a nice life.
Well, what's the purpose of that rule other than money and profit? There's no other reason,
there's no other reason for
safety. There's no other reason to cut inspections.
Because you're not creating jobs.
No.
You're minimizing jobs.
To me, it's profit. That's all there is to it.
Profit. Yeah, more profit.
So
to grow more cows. To have more farms.
Yeah, grow them.
Straight up. We're not growing corn anymore, folks. We're growing cows. We don't even have to feed these cows, barely. That's the thing. And what we're feeding them is completely just, you know, cheapo filler stuff that we manufacture,
mm-hmm.
you know, from corn waste and grain waste.
Or it's other animals.
Yeah, or other animals. You know, like those the dead truck or whatever that runs around the farms and picks up the carcasses and
puts
Does that shit go?
It goes in the feed with the other food they eat.
Because there's so many hormones. There's all those wasted growth hormones.
They can't waste it. They're not going to waste that carcass. Are you kidding me?
No, because if you get it fresh enough, it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna damage the cow. Plus those fucking cows have 8-9 stomachs. So by the time it gets to the 10th stomach or whatever, you know, that bacteria is gone.
I know.
A cow can literally eat anything. They're like catfish.
Yeah. So I think food is really, really a big component of mental health.
That's literally that's the only thing that has changed in the past 70 years as far as in correlation with the mental health numbers. So just for, these are bullshit numbers, but just for an example, say in, you know, 1960, say 1950, the mental health, we got men and women. I still find that fascinating that, you know, men, it's just like upside down, whatever. You ever looked at that?
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
like
just the opposite.
The curiosity of it all. It's one big zigzag. That's just what we are. We're just zigzagging around here. Okay, so back to the math. So say 20% of men and 25% of women had mental health issues in general, whether it was anxiety, depression, whatever. So what happened between 1950 to now?
Well, some people would probably argue that now, because we have a way to communicate information so quickly, that all of this was happening then. We just talk about it now because we're just able to, like, you know, share it all the time.
Right.
I can see, like, a part of that, a tiny part of it.
So possible placebo due to just human connection, saying, like, oh, I'm stressed out, so you're my best friend, so if I'm stressed out, you're stressed out.
Yeah, yeah, and just the ability to share information, like, I just think it's just such a small, minute part of the equation, though.
Right.
I really think a lot of it has to do with food.
At the bare bones of it all, say, you know, 10% of it, like, say it's a pie here, 50% easily food.
Why do we have all of these increases in chronic illnesses that we didn't have before?
We've got Harvard smarties out there making it happen to where, what can we put into this food to make it 6 months later to where you have a gallstone? Or what can we put into this food where it's onset of cancer 15 years post?
Diabetes type 2 is a dietary related disease. What you put in your mouth either causes or prevents diabetes type 2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, prove me wrong on that, but the information I've read is it's a dietary disease. So you give yourself diabetes. You give it to yourself.
Yeah, it's self-inflicted.
Yep, it is.
But convincing some folks that that's the case, like I had this talk with my mom one night. Like, I know Greg, he doesn't have, I think it's type 1. It's definitely type 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's battled it his whole life.
That's a whole different story.
Oh, that's a whole different animal. Because I said something about if he were to start eating more plants, he could, you know, curb his diabetes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, no, not this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so what about, you know, you're saying all diabetes? She's like, no, type 2, whatever. But I think even to a degree, people with type 1, like if, you know, if you're eating like shit, no matter what is wrong with
right,
you.
Right.
You're going to feel it. So even with type 1, you know, there are certain things that can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, since, you know, he doesn't drink as much as he used to. He's home a lot more now. He got his right limb kind of severed below, like, above the ankle, below the shin.
Yeah.
And since he's not in pain all the time, he's actually a happier guy, and he doesn't need to lean on, like, the pain relief of mm-hmm. a nice alcoholic buzz. And he's being more conscious about what he puts in his body, too, because he knows, like, he can't go climb a power pole anymore and work it off.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's altered his diet, holy shitballs. Night and day difference in his mood,
mm-hmm.
his level of patience, his attention to detail. He's always been very attentive, but it's more so.
Yep.
It's like a whole different dude.
No, I completely believe it. I do. You cannot put garbage in and expect to get anything but garbage out.
Yeah, like, I've been on this kick. I didn't eat junk food for years, like at least 8 years almost. And one day I'm like, oh, some of these little donuts, whatever, just one time, right? No, dude, no, it's like every other time I go to get gas, grab the donuts, man.
Yeah. I know. Like, I mean, we are all human.
Such a slippery slope.
But I think the idea is better, not perfect.
Right.
Perfection also leads you down a path of darkness and lack of fulfillment as well.
Lots of stress. So
there is a balance. You can have cake, but you can't have cake every day.
Yeah.
You know, you just
like. Once every 7 days, have yourself a slice of pie. 80-20 Yeah. And that's a great rule for also, like, workload, too.
Mm.
I feel mm-hmm. like if you put in 80% of work, you know, 100% of the time, that other 20 where, you know, you maybe just aren't feeling it. Like me today, personally, I picked up the phone to make some calls and stuff, and I just wasn't feeling it. It's like, I don't need to exhaust myself anymore. I need to build myself up. So mm-hmm. I did a morning jam. That always makes me feel good. Doing this podcast right now makes me feel good. But, like, with having more stuff on my plate, with Big Hearts Big Sound right now, like, I'm trying to get us some more shows, and I'm like, just, like, exhausted. Like, every which way I look, I'm like, I'm doing something.
Uh-huh.
And then my fiance says, well, what about me? I'm like, shit. Like, damn. Like, I can't win. Like, I cannot win. And that's another thing. As far as mental health goes, like, if you're going through it right now and, you know, you've tried diet, you know, and you've really, really cracked down on minimal carbs, minimal, like, no processed, get the processed shit out of there. Like I said, if you can't read more than two or three of the words on that label, don't touch it. Put it back. Go to the produce and the meat department and read some labels. But if you've already tried adjusting the diet and things like that, try fasting. Fasting was so amazing for my mental health. It was like night and day. I literally would just cut out my carbs, and say if I did do a meal, it would be, say, at like 8 in the morning. And then my next meal would be, you know, approximately 12 hours later. But I don't recommend fasting during the day right out of the gate. I recommend eating at 8 p.m. and then again at 8 a.m. So most of your fasted hours are at night. Just until you kind of get the hang of it. And then where you'll really see some amazing mental health results, like Katie was talking about, more focus, more awareness, more attentiveness. But with fasting, it's when you get into like the 14-hour fasting and the 16-hour. But at the end of your fast, don't break it with carbs. Break it with fats, whether that be cheese, a dairy product. Again, read your labels as far as that goes. I just hate telling people even to eat, like, dairy products, because I know a lot of the stuff in stores comes from, you know, all these genetically modified farms and stuff. Like, oh, hey, eat this this grain stuff with other mm-hmm. pieces and parts. But find yourself a good source. Break your fast with fats. It even kind of rhymes, so it's fun.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
IF, that's a fancy word, intermittent fasting.
And if you're really not down with the fast, then do the 6 small meal thing. Like, small meal in the morning. I usually do like a fruit smoothie in the morning. I haven't been lately, and I can definitely tell throughout my day that I'm not getting the proper nutrition, and I think that's part of my
When you start though, and you stay consistent, and you don't have it, your body knows.
Oh yeah.
So you can get consistent with the good stuff, and get addicted to the good stuff. You know,
just as easy.
You can, and you absolutely can.
Yeah, your body's a well-oiled machine. So if you run that machine with the good oil and the good maintenance, and you love it, that car's going to last you a lot longer. Same thing with your body.
I like that. Yeah.
Because a lot of people think that we're not machines. Newsflash, folks. We are machines. We just are made of different parts. Rather than made of metal and tubing and pipes and things of that nature and moving parts of metal and gears, we're made of flesh, bones, ligaments, tendons. You know, our ligaments and tendons are our gears that connect our other pieces. The knee gear allows your knee to bend so you can run. And your hips, those are all gears, folks. Those are all, like, your movable parts. So if you're not putting enough liquid into your body, and you're putting a lot of, like, sugary sports drinks in there, what does sugar do when it meets a liquid? It gets gummy. What happens when it meets a surface like flesh or silicone? It gets gummier. It sticks to that surface. So what's happening in your blood vessels? Shit is sticking to the walls, folks.
Clogging.
Yeah, all these artificial things that they're putting in foods, these sweeteners, these flavors, these colors, these preservatives, all this shit is sticking to your walls of every cavity, every, you know, canal of blood flow, all that stuff. So think about that before you grab, you know, that big gulp because it's convenient. Get some water instead. If, unless you're not trying to tame your mental health, like if you're totally fine with being crazy every day, wanting to kick the dog and scream at your kids, that's fine. That's groovy. But you're on the wrong show. You're listening to the wrong show. So go find somewhere else to listen to. We don't want you here because you don't want to change. However, for those of you that do want to change, think about what you're putting into your body and think about the hours that you're actually spending moving. I want to bring that back to exercise. With that fasted exercise right away in the morning, you are going to be burning 2-3 times the calories and fat that you would otherwise because your body's in like this survival, like beast mode, literally in beast mode. If you can fight the hunger cravings and you can really stick to this, you will burn fat like it's going out of style. However, talk to your doctor first because you may not be equipped health-wise to do intermittent fasting. However, it's fairly safe. I mean, if you're diabetic, you definitely want to talk to your doctor about fasting and what are some good things like BCAAs between meals. I like to drink BCAAs.
Yep.
Come and get some go juice, folks.
I know a lot of people who do IF, they also will use coffee because, one, it gives them a little bit more energy, but there's no caloric content. It's not going to mess with the hormones or insulin, so they can still stay in that fasted state.
Right.
BCAAs are great for that, too. Because you prevent the muscle from atrophying when you put in the branched chain aminos. But at the same time, you aren't breaking that fast.
Right, yeah. Right. And unless, like, if you do a protein shake, obviously, you're going to break your fast.
If it's got sugar in it, damn right you will.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to completely
yep.
stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing, like, we've been getting free bread from my mother-in-law, okay? So, like, literally, last week I came home and there was 4 loaves of bread in my house. One was like a cranberry nut bread. Mm-hmm. It was super
good. Well, tis the season. It's coming up here real soon.
Yes, dude. Tis the season for carbs and wonderfulness. Yep. So be aware.
Yeah.
We've got
Be aware.
Thanksgiving. Yes. aware of everything. Not only like where you're going and who you're surrounding with yourself with on the holidays. Just because they're your family doesn't mean you got to hang out with them. Just thought I'd put that out there.
It is true. It is true.
If they're assholes, let them be assholes all by themselves.
Or like, if they suck the life out of you.
Yeah, I mean, you don't owe them shit.
You don't. It doesn't matter if you came from their body or not. You don't have to.
Like, we attach ourselves to these family figures sometimes, even when they're total assholes. Because we like, oh, but like, you know, blood is thicker than water and all this. Is like, yeah, that's cool, bro. But you're gonna choose to be unhappy because you're trying to like get that good job from your dad that's never coming, or are you going to make the right decision and say, hey, I'm alone this year and I'm gonna go volunteer, I'm gonna go be with people that maybe don't have family, I'm gonna go be with people that I don't even know. You know, I would rather you sit in a saloon not knowing a soul than sitting in a cage full of family members that all they're doing is, quote-unquote, giving you shit all day.
Obligation is a made-up word, and I don't think anybody's ever obligated to do anything.
Right.
If it makes you feel like crap, you don't have to do it.
If it's not good for your mental health, and even, like, for example, yesterday I got asked to give somebody a ride, and I'm like, of course, yeah. Like I know I want to give this person a ride, and then the other part of me is like, but I've got to do this, and then they'll put me here, and then, like I'm doing the logistics in my head. I'm like, logistically, that's going to stress me out. So I had to decline.
Yeah, you can say no. That's okay, too.
Sometimes it sucks.
Yeah, it does. It's hard.
You don't want to disappoint anybody.
I know.
But, dude, like, if you have to say no for your mental health purposes and they don't understand and they get all butthurty about it, sorry. But, again, if your circle is not lifting you up, they are not your circle. They are your cage, and they are holding you back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the people that you're supposed to be with will understand if you say no, or respectfully decline something, because they just understand. You know, they don't even put much more thought into it. They're like, okay, cool. You know, Katie's not in. Alex isn't in. Like, that, it's okay. But there's no reason that you should put yourself at a deficit for somebody else. And because then your aunt is probably going to resent that person in some way, shape, or form, anyways.
Right.
It's like, do you know what I did to help you out, and I gave up all this in my day or whatever. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care. You gave them $5,000 to get out of their
whatever.
Gambling debt, and like, whatever, bro. Like, it's no skin off their back. You help them out of a situation and in turn put yourself in a shitty one.
I think you should always choose yourself first.
Yeah.
And that may seem selfish. It doesn't have to be this like thing where you're always just existing for yourself, because like service is important too. But we have to make decisions like yours. If you're going to be putting yourself in a shitty position to help out somebody else who probably has somebody else they can call on anyways, you don't do it. You don't do it, you know? I mean, it's unfortunate that your friend was in a position, but it's not your problem to take on and, you know, put your cape on and be like, I'm going to solve this problem.
I love that. Put your cape on.
it's okay. Like, People can also figure out their own lives too. I've been told no before.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, I'll find something else. Like, then you just roll with the punches.
Yeah, sometimes my ego gets really hurt when I'm told no.
Yeah.
And sometimes it lashes out like, you really gonna let them tell you no? Like, it's, yeah, man. Like, yeah, I am. Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the self talk where you have to like talk to your ego sometimes, like, nah, ego, we good, like, we got this. You know?
Settle down.
Like, with the music, man, like, I've been getting some of these old feelings of you're not good enough. I'm like, no, man, shut up.
Yep.
Just shut up and let me drive.
I know.
You know? Just shut up and let me live my life.
Yeah.
So, notes that we've taken away from today. Talk to yourself if you want to talk to yourself. Don't let anybody tell you that it's weird. It's only weird to them because, you know, maybe they once talked to themselves and somebody made them feel weird.
Right. I mean, people, like, you do have the people with actual mental illnesses expressed, like schizophrenia and bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they're talking to themselves, but I honestly think, like, they're accessing this, like, existence within themselves that, you know, I mean, whatever's going on in their brain is going on in their brain. It's real and it's true to them.
Right.
We always just kind of label that as they're a little wackadoo, right?
But guess what, though?
But I'm not sure.
What if they have the key?
I know, like, what, like, because
the
of...
the library of knowledge.
I know, and I think that, too, about some people you see on the corner and they're talking to themselves. I'm like, what do they know that I don't, maybe,
like,
right?
Who, like, are they talking to right now?
What do they see? Like, what do they see that I can't, right? Because, I mean, despite all the work that I've done, I'm, you know, I still struggle to live in the present. I still believe that this reality is all there is sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. and they're not worried about all that shit that we're always worried about.
No,
right? So, like, what do they know or see?
The car they're not driving.
No,
they don't
right?
care about the house they're not living
yeah,
in.
They don't care.
You know.
So, still though, even with all kinds of work, you're still gonna have. You're always gonna be working. Always gonna be working because you're human.
Yeah, and I feel like, I've fallen under the category of workaholic.
I like to keep busy though.
Like, if I don't, like, I'll have off days. Like, if I'm not busy doing something, unless I need to, like today where I just needed to take me time.
But you know what that feels like.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Like, I don't feel like I have energy to offer to anybody. Like, I don't know how I'm going to go get on stage tonight and go perform for a set. I know I'm going to do it, and I know I'm going to kill it. But at the end of the day, I've got to treat myself right. And back to the schizophrenic subject, I had a friend of mine once that was mildly schizophrenic, you know, like enough to be like the weird kid. Everybody made fun of him, but he was conscious enough to know that they were making fun of him. So, like, they nicknamed him a dumb slur, and he owned it. Like, he owned it. Mm-hmm. He loved it. He owned it. He was that. But he was one of the only human beings to ever truly see right through my bullshit.
I'm not surprised.
Like, dude, what are you able to access that I'm not?
Yeah.
Like, can you drop into the ether whenever you want? Because I can only drop in when I'm songwriting. Like, when I'm in my zone.
Yeah.
When I'm with
a
guitar or a piano. Like, they can just drop in and out.
And we often,
can see the future.
Like, try to medicate those people, and that doesn't work
either. Yeah, we try to stupefy them.
I know, throw them in somewhere
and dumb them
down.
Put them in a home.
Mm-hmm.
But really, those are the unsocial Stephen Hawkings of our time. We need to hook them up to an EEG. We need to see what the F is going on in their brain.
Find a way to communicate and, like...
Yeah.
I don't think most of them are violent. Like, most schizophrenics and bipolar people, they're not murderous people.
No,
they're
dude.
Not.
No, they're not like Charles Manson. Those
no.
people are sick.
Yes.
Yeah. They're way more sick than a schizophrenic or a bipolar individual.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot to learn from, ironically, those that suffer from severe mental illnesses that's, like, expressed, right? We talk about the demons inside our head and people walking around, but, like, these people are actually expressing...
These people are the demons
though.
For that split second.
Yeah,
I mean,
and you just kind of wonder,
personalities.
Like, what can we learn from them? But we don't really ever think that they're... I don't know, until right now, I don't know anywhere where they're, like, actually learning from these people is helpful sources of information. They're all just, throw them in a home, we can't manage them, they can't be out in public.
Right, but the thing they don't want to happen is they don't want these people to find their potential.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Find that light of do. Because if they find the light of do, and they figure out how to adapt to the world around them and not just be dumbed down with meds and people telling them that they're awful and they're
mm-hmm.
weird and they don't
weird.
Fit. If they were actually given the proper tools that they were able to use, I think that the system is fearful of those people.
Uh-huh. I do too.
Because they can find the cure for cancer. They can go in, do all the proper research and all the channels, go in and investigate all these major corporations that are shitting on the rest of the world with their food-like products and their chemtrails and whatever else is going on that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
and infiltrate these systems because they're so psychotically smart without even being detected. Like Ted Bundy, how he was so crazy, he was able to get his way out of a penitentiary twice. He escaped from prison twice. If that crazy asshole did what he did, they're in fear of these mentally disabled individuals because they're not really disabled. They're just gifted in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I believe that.
And like split personality, the movie Split.
I haven't seen it.
Definitely a great flick.
Okay.
And then it's Glass, I think, was the follow-up to it.
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, with Sam L.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Okay. So, like, here's my theory on split personality. I don't think it's a down thing. I think it's an amazing gift. But a split personality, say he's got 20 personalities, okay? I believe that there is 20 conscious, sentient souls within that one vessel. Like me personally, with what the neuro doctor told me about my brain hemispheres being flip-flopped and this and that with, you know, bipolar or manic depression or whatever it is, I quit using words, man. Quit using words for it, because really it's a gift. I can think differently than other people. Mm-hmm. I can write songs until the fucking cows come home and not get exhausted.
Grass-fed cows?
Yes, the grass-fed cows come home. Because those other cows, man, they ain't coming home.
No.
They ain't going home nowhere, no how, not even when they're dead.
Yeah, no, those labels suppress. Like, I like the movement. Autism used to be another, like, kind of, like, hush-hush. You don't want to say if your kid has autism or on the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
But those kids are gifted. They are gifted. They have access to their brain and understand things that we cannot.
And they don't let their feelings cloud their judgment.
I know, right?
They
can
make great decisions.
I know. Or they just
really
do.
Bad ones.
They just do, and they act, and they don't. It's just these labels, you know, where they think, well, they can't get along in society. It's like, well, we're not getting along in their society. I mean, why is it always just
right.
because...
Why are they the weirdos?
Yeah, I know. So these labels, I think, are suppressive, too.
Well, they're meant to keep us down. Mm-hmm. And that whole year after I was clinically diagnosed bipolar, like, I was convinced that if I didn't have an up-and-down week or something, if I was too far up or too far down any given week, something was wrong. Like, if I wasn't experiencing ups and downs, something was wrong. Like, well, I'm bipolar, I'm supposed to be experiencing such and such ABCD. No, dude. Like, just because they told you something doesn't mean shit.
Right.
Like, yes, I may be bipolar, and I may be manic depressive. To me, it's two of the same coin. It's just the other side, and maybe the edge. I'm not sure. But I will say, I like your sticker there. That's great. I will say that since that diagnosis, like, I will say that I went through a depression because of it, because, like, I felt like a fucking victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go into potential job interviews and like, I would let them know, just so you know, I'm fucking bipolar, and on top of the other, just so you knows, of I'm, you know, epileptic and this and that and whatever, you know, they go through all this shit. Okay, now what's wrong with you? So in case this happens, I've been doing it my whole life, man, and now I had to add to it with the bipolar thing, like, and they would fucking look at me all fucking weird, man. They would look at me like I was just like, why are you saying that? Like, and then I asked myself the same question. Why? They don't need to know that. And, like, what is it anyway? I don't know. But to me, in that bipolar, I've found that I have this stone. There's a stone in here. It's called Mermaid Stone. And I can tell that you have a very blue aura because it reads auras, yeah.
What does that mean, blue?
I'd have to look it up to be specific. But yeah, it's very, very blue-green on your side and very, like, magenta on my side. But when it's just me in the room, it's like I see like a baby blue and a light pink, like a magenta mm-hmm. and baby blue, which are both good. But like to me, it's like that means I have two auras. Hence, you know, bipolar, upside down side. But then again, what if it's two different personalities, two different sentient consciousnesses, for lack of a better term, dwelling within my vessel, just like split personality of 20. There's 20 different conscious beings. Because some people, when they switch personalities, like they'll be super skinny for one. And this is really drastic, but it's been shown that it's possible. And then they can maybe bench 100 pounds. The next day they go to the weight room and, you know, they're just like repping out 250.
Tells you how much belief has to do with.
Fuck yeah, dude. The more I studied bipolar disorder and the more I studied personalities and everything, it boiled down to that exact word, belief. It's like you can literally be anything you believe you are. And like, since I started thinking about like making a feature film, like, not that everything else has been beneath me, but I kind of have this like God complex lately that like I built it up here. That's how things are built, no matter what it is, structure, movie, album, whatever, gym. Veronica wants to build her own gym, by the way. More on that.
Okay.
But anyway, to get back to it, like, don't let these labels, you know, hold you back, because if you can create something in your mind, whether that's a better version of you, a skinnier version of you, a version of you that maybe has a six-pack and you've never had a six-pack, if you believe in your brain, it will happen.
Yep.
And I had this belief that I was going to put on 50 pounds of muscle in a year and a half. I was 19, 20 years old, whatever, 21. But anyway, I went from, you know, like a solid like 230, you know, just average build, whatever. I wasn't really lifting a whole lot, just doing cardio, dropping weight. Then I started really, really picking up weight. And I started like doing my deadlifts. This was prior to back injury. I was like deadlifting like 400 pounds, 450 pounds. And I'm like, I had just gotten into it again. Like, I believe that I can do it. So much so that if I would have hit it a week prior to that, my belief might not have been there. But because my belief was there, I stacked on muscle, dude. I put on 30 pounds of muscle in less than a year. Like solid muscle. Because I believe. Because that was my path. And whenever I want to save money, if I have like this trip coming up and I believe that I will have three times the money by that trip, you start using those frequencies of reception.
Yep.
It's fucking crazy.
Once you get good enough, it really is asking, you shall receive.
It's like voodoo.
And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a year. I mean, it can be very quick. Once you get really good at it and dial in the power.
Once you flex your manifestation muscles.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I'm excited because I've made a lot of leaps and bounds in that area, but I know there's so much more.
So much more.
I'm just like, oh my God, I've done this. What's next, right? Like, I can't.
Have you watched Doctor Strange, the movie?
No, I haven't.
Don't, okay?
Okay, so I don't need to put that on my list?
Yes, do.
Okay.
But don't because of this. Because you're going to watch that film and you're going to be like, okay, that looks all crazy, but I know that on some plane, some realm, some earth in the multiverse, that shit's possible. If I can manifest a 500-dollar day after, you know, a week of dry bones, and I'm just like, dude, $500. It's $500. That's all I'm asking, $500. And you just think about it, and you believe that you're going to have a $500 day this week. It's going to happen. Boom. I manifested, like, I was looking into this studio space, probably about the size of this room, to do my guitar work, get my studio stuff hooked back up. Veronica could possibly come in on the venture and work on her art there. And just, it was like, I just need a due space of my own. And So I'm like, okay, so I've got this client at the gym. I'm like, how am I gonna like get rid of this smoothly to have the money for this? And how am I gonna deal with the anxiety in the meantime, the transition? But I know, I believe that something is going to happen. And literally a week later, my main client comes to me and she's like, well, ABCD, this mm-hmm. is happening. So XYZ, we can't train anymore. Which, 1, 2, 3, here I go. And I'm like, wow. Like, I just had a wow moment of my ability to manifest that free up for that studio space. Yep. So yeah, if you flex your muscles, like mm-hmm. it will go. Speaking of which, we're kind of driving that time clock. What are we at right now? Not that it matters, but this is record time. I dig it. So I'm going to let you kind of like do a sign off deal and maybe promote your any specials or anything you've got going on this month and month of October, since we're already almost out of September.
I think, Alex, since we talk so much about mental health and the food you put in your body, it's important to add a probiotic to your diet. And these probiotics, they are microorganisms that live in our body, like actual bacteria, good bacteria that exist in our body, that digest food, that shuttle nutrients to the place they're supposed to shuttle. They manage hormones, neurotransmitters, all of those things. So if you have a stomach that is full of garbage, and I always like to use this aquarium example. So we've all seen like a really dirty aquarium. It's just nasty. And like you can put one of those clean tabs in it, or maybe add a little bit more water and it clears it up. But like, it's still dirty, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way a lot of us are running around with our guts. And if we knew the kind of gut that we had, we would probably take better care of it. But what a probiotic does is it promotes and puts in good bacteria, so it can proliferate, grow, and eventually be the majority over that bad gut bacteria. When we feed our gut sugar, those bad bacteria in our gut, they are eating that sugar up and they are getting fed and strong and they're good. I mean, sugar is like steroids for these bad bacteria.
Oh, for sure.
So if you're putting a lot of processed and refined sugar into your body, like you're gonna have an upset gut. You are not gonna be digesting food the way you want to. You're probably gonna start retaining water. You're not gonna have the focus and clarity, brain fog, lethargy, tired, like you name it, it starts in the gut. So since this whole thing we've talked about is mental health, get yourself a good probiotic.
Right, absolutely.
Good probiotic.
Symbiotic.
Yeah.
From Red H Nutrition.
Well, specifically, the first three ingredients on there are the three most abundant gut flora in our body. So at a homeostasis, at the balance you should be at, these three bacteria, microorganisms that are in the adaptogenic symbiotic, are the three most abundant. So they're going to be the three most prolific, the ones that you need to get in there because they're regulating most of what's going on in the gut.
They're the ones that are going to go beast mode and really, really help you flip-flop. Like I said, I'm almost done with my 30-day supply, and I can tell a difference. Other than the fact that I need to quit eating so many carbs, because it's not. Like, the fog is lack of protein. That's all it is. But it's one of those things, like, we find every excuse in the book to cut that corner on our protein intake. And, oh, but, like, this PB&J sandwich, like, peanut butter has some protein, but honest to God, read that peanut butter
it's
label.
Sugar.
It's pure sugar, Holmes.
I know. I mean, that's why it tastes so good, right? Like, natural peanut butter, dude, it doesn't taste as good as, like, Jif or Skippy.
No,
it
man.
It does not.
No, and then they started adding honey in there, too. Oh, God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely read your labels, folks. Like, this stuff that's brand name that you've been eating since you were a kid, your Jiffy, your Skippy, you know, your Smuckers, all these name brands, like, they have evolved their formula. The first jar of Skippy, you know what? It was probably, you know, fairly clean. It was probably fairly good for you. But since, you know, we've shifted the way we think about profit margins in the food industry and giving a shit or the lack thereof about the people consuming it, read your labels. Get a good probiotic. and take care of yourself. For now, we're going to get out of here, and I'm going to go play a gig. Katie's going to go bust some ass somehow, some way, with her business.
Oh, we'd be working.
Always on the grind, which that reminds me, get on the website, folks. And if you're one of those folks that is all like, oh, time this, I don't have time for that, I don't have time for self-betterment, there's a blog post that I wrote myself. It's called 7 Days to Grind. I encourage you to read it. If you find some typos, do not bring it to my attention.
I don't care.
Don't care. It's not the typos I'm worried about. It's like Pulp Fiction. It's not the coffee in my cup that I'm worried about, Jules. It's not the typos that I'm worried about, folks. It's the content. And like my mentor, Ralph Smart, said, he said, if you chase perfection your whole life, you're going to be down on yourself more times than you can count. Also, it doesn't exist. So he published a book. It's called Feel Alive by Ralph Smart. And there is it's littered with typos and punctuation errors. It's like one giant run-on sentence, but you mentally separate it, you know, because we know better. But he did that just to show you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to put out perfect content. You don't have to scrub your YouTube video for every little mess up along the way and make sure it's perfect before you release it. Like the guys were talking about that last night, like, oh, I need the perfect YouTube video before I post it. I'm like, huh? Like, I literally filmed myself, like, right after dinner. I got my pajamas on, and I'm playing guitar, and it's on YouTube. Like, what are you waiting for? Just put the content out there. But anyways, for now, folks, do what you love. That's another thing to combat mental health. Get your diet on point. Hit the weights. Nutrition advice from an incredible source. Supplementation with your probiotic, exercise that can literally be walking 10 minutes a day, and learn how to fight your demons in a manner that is not going to bring you down. Last words, Katie Danger?
Surround yourself with people who give a shit about you.
Boom. Couldn't have said it better myself. Find your fight. Keep moving forward.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.